present A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Christmas Eve, in the year of our Lord, 1842. Streets alive with a happy throng. In the heart of the great city, in a darkened alleyway, a dingy counting house. Through the shutters guarding the narrow windows, a flickering light. In this dismal, cobwebbed room, the miser, Ebenezer Scrooge. Old, ill-favored, ugly. A second figure we see, stooping over a desk. His clerk, Bob Cratchit. The hour is late, yet still they work, toiling over musty ledgers by the fitful light of guttering candles. Inside, desolation and despair. Outside in the streets, blanketed in driven snow, children's voices raised in praise of the festive season.
Did I not bid you to bid those children be gone?
Oh, I did, sir, but they wouldn't take no notice.
No notice, eh? I'll soon shift them. Where's that ruler? Be gone, you little ruffian! Stop making that awful noise! Be gone, I say! Be off, I tell you! Get away from my door, or I'll flay the hides off you with this ruler!
A Merry Christmas. Humbug. Humbug. Who's that at this hour?
Good day to you, Bob.
Good day to you, sir.
Who calls at this late hour?
It's Mr. Fred, sir.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle, and God save you.
Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Fie, you don't mean that, I warrant.
I do mean it. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
For that matter, Uncle, what right have you to be dismal and morose? You're rich enough.
Eh? Humbug.
Nay, don't be ill-tempered, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in a world such as this, peopled by fools? Merry Christmas. Out upon a Merry Christmas. What is Christmas to you but a time for paying your bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and finding every item in them for a round dozen a month presented dead against you? If I could have my will, every idiot who goes about with a Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart, so he should.
Uncle!
Let you keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, Uncle.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good it has ever done you.
Ah, there are many things from which I might have derived good, from which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. I have always thought of Christmas time, as it has come its yearly round, apart from the veneration which is due to its sacred name and origin, if anything belonging to it can be apart from that, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time.
Good time.
Therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it.
Yeah, Mr. Fred, bravo!
Let me hear another sound from you, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. As for you, Mr. Fred, you're quite a powerful speaker. I wonder you don't enter Parliament.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come and dine with us tomorrow.
See you damn first. Good day.
With all my heart, I'm sorry to find you so resolute. We've never had a quarrel to which I have been a party. Never, Uncle. Oh, well, I've made the trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humour to the last. And Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good day.
And a Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, Bob. And Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Fraser. Merry Christmas, sir.
There's another fellow. The clerk, Bob Cratchit. 15 shillings a week, and a wife and family, and talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to a lunatic asylum.
Sir?
Well, Wilbur.
A gentleman to see you, sir.
Huh?
Good day to you, sir.
Hmm?
Scrooge and Marley's, I believe.
Well,
have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Ah, well, I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner.
Who are you, sir? I have no recollection that we are acquainted.
Probably not. Goodman is my name, sir, of Goodman and Company, T. Importers, Mincing Lane. Here are my credentials, sir.
What's this? Oh, charity. Take them away. I don't want to see them.
But at this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons, sir, unfortunately.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are. Still, I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law in full vigour, then?
Alas, both very busy, sir.
I was afraid from your first remarks that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course. I am indeed glad to hear news to the contrary.
My colleagues and myself, under the impression that these state institutions scarcely furnish Christian cheer of mind or body to the multitude, are endeavouring to raise a fund to purchase the poor meat and drink and means of warmth. We chose this season of the year because it is a time, above all others, when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. And now, sir, for what amount shall I inscribe your name?
Nothing.
Oh, you wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, sir, that is my answer.
But, sir,
I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the institutions I have named. They cost enough, and those who are badly off must go there.
Many cannot go there. Many would rather die than go there.
If they would rather die, then they'd better do so and decrease the surplus population. It's not my concern. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people. Mine occupies me constantly. I'll bid you good day.
But, Mr. Scrooge, surely...
I'll bid you good day. Show this gentleman out, Cratchit.
I beg of you, Mr. Scrooge, just...
Good day.
Good day, sir.
Dawdling as usual, Cratchit. Carols. Shh, shut the door. Come here, Cratchit. You'll want all day off tomorrow, I suppose.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient.
Oh,
there's work to be done. Come in at 9 in the morning.
Yes, sir.
For a couple of hours.
Oh, yes, sir. I will,
see you're not late.
I'll not be late, sir. And thank you, sir.
Before you go, put my gruel on the hob.
Yes, sir.
And my slippers to warm.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to the chop house across the street for my dinner. They take all the newspapers there. Lock up when you leave. I'll be back later.
Yes, sir. A Merry Christmas!
Bah!
Almost midnight, and Ebenezer Scrooge alone in the dismal, shadowed room. On his desk, open ledgers, debit and credit, and the hour strikes.
Very strange. sworn I saw the face of me old partner, Jacob Marley, in the door. Look. Impossible. Impossible. Marley is dead. No doubt of that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Aye, Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name is good on the stock exchange for anything he cares to put his hand to. But 'tis very strange. Marley's dead. Better have a look, though. Nothing in the cupboard. Nothing up the chimney. Nothing in me dressing gown nor in me nightcap. I'll put 'em on. Humbug. Marley's dead, as dead as a doornail. Though I be inclined myself to regard a coffin nail as the deadest piece of ironmongery in the tray. What's that? Only rats in the wainscoting. Better bolt the door, though, to be on the safe side. Where's my slippers? And me gruel? 'Twas better to bolt the door. Swear I saw old Marley's face staring at me from the door knocker. Staring at me just as he used to stare. The same look. The humbug, humbug. What's that? What's that?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
What do you want with me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who were you then? You're particular for a ghost.
In life I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley? Can you sit down?
I can.
Do it then, do it.
You don't believe in me.
I don't.
What evidence would you ask for to prove my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You see this toothpick I hold?
I do.
You're not looking at it.
I see it notwithstanding.
Well, I have but to swallow this toothpick and be, for the rest of my days, persecuted by a legion of goblins all of my own creation. Humbug, I tell you, humbug. Mercy, mercy. Dreadful apparition, why do you trouble?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do. I must. But why do spirits walk this earth? Why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. Oh, woe is me. Oh.
You're fettered. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. Yours was as full and as heavy and as long as this. 7 Christmas Eves ago.
Jacob, old Jacob Marley, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give.
No.
It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all that is permitted to me. I cannot rest, I cannot stay, I cannot linger anywhere, and weary journeys lie before me. No rest, no peace, incessant torture of remorse.
You travel fast?
On the wings of the wind.
Jacob, Jacob!
Hear me, my time is almost spent.
I will. But don't be hard upon me. Don't talk so much. Don't be so flowery, Jacob, pray.
Why it is I appear before you in this form you see, I may not tell. Yet I have sat invisible beside you many and many a day.
What?
That is no light part of my penance. Hark, you will be haunted by a threefold spirit.
A threefold spirit? Is that the chance and hope you spoke of, Jacob?
It is.
I think I'd rather
not. Without these visitations, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first this night when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
On the night which follows, expect the second at the same hour, and the third upon the third night, when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more, and look that for your own sake you remember what has passed between us.
Yes, but Jacob, Jacob, I say, Jacob, Jacob Marley! Why, he's gone, he's gone. The clock of the old church. The hour. And nothing else.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Eh?
Look upon me.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am that threefold spirit.
Your appearance is strange to me, spirit. I see a blaze of light about your head. And in your hand you hold a branch of holly. Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
God bless you, merry gentlemen, there's nothing to dismay.
The ghost of Christmas past? The ghost of Christmas past? Long past?
No, your past.
My past, spirit.
Well, mortal.
That light about your head is dazzling to me eyes. Can you not dim its radiance?
What would you so soon put out with worldly hands the light I give?
'Tis dazzling to me eyes.
You and your like have striven to extinguish it over the years, without success.
I have? Then unknown to me. What business brings you here, pray?
Your welfare.
My welfare? I am much obliged, but I would have thought that a night of unbroken rest would have been more conducive to that end.
Your reclamation, then.
Huh?
Take heed. Rise and come with me.
I am but mortal, Where would you lead me?
Through the air, above the crust of earth.
Being mortal, I am liable to fall.
Here is my hand. Hold out yours.
Well, what then?
Bear but a touch of my hand on yours, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
Where would you lead me?
Your hand on mine. Know you this place?
Why, we're on a country road. Hedges and fields on either side. 'Tis day, and the light of day brings forth the song of birds.
You recollect the way?
Yes, yes, remember it. I could walk it blindfold.
Strange to have forgotten it for so many years.
I was bred in this place. I was a boy here.
Hi, Will!
Hello there! Hello there! Jake! Jake!
You know them too?
Know them? Why, they're my old schoolmates leaving school for the Christmas holidays. Hi there!
Dick! Dick! It's me, Ebenezer!
They are but shadows of things that have been. They have no consciousness of us. Your lip is trembling. And what is that which glistens upon your cheek?
'Tis nothing, Spirit. Nothing.
Let us go on. This building before us, you recognize it?
I do. The village school where I was taught. Deserted for the holidays.
Not quite deserted. Look again, see. A solitary boy sits there, neglected by his friends. You see him?
Yes, yes, I see him.
You know him, Scrooge?
I know him. It is me. When young. Spirit, poor boy. Poor boy. I wish that... But it's too late for now.
What is the matter?
Nothing. Nothing. There was a boy singing a carol at my door last night. I should have liked to have given him something. That's all.
Come, let us see another Christmas. Scrooge, what do you see?
I see a drawing room decked with holly. A young man and a beautiful, tender girl.
Look again and recognize.
Why, 'tis Emma, the girl I was betrothed to, and the man? Yes, it must be. It is my former self. Myself as a young man.
Listen, listen.
It matters little. To you, very little. Another idol has displaced me, and if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve.
What idol has displaced you?
A golden one.
I am not changed towards you, am I?
Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both poor, and content to be so, until in good season we could improve our worldly fortune by patient industry. You are changed. When our contract was made, you were another man.
I was a boy.
Your own feeling tells you you were not what you are. I am. That which promised happiness when we were one in heart is fraught with misery now we are two. How often and how keenly I have thought of this, I will not say. It is enough that I have thought of it and can release you.
Have I ever sought release?
In words, no, never.
In what then?
In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in another atmosphere of life, another hope as its great end. In everything that made my love of any worth or value in your sight. If this had never been between us, tell me, would you seek me out and try to win me now?
You think not?
I would gladly think otherwise if I could, heaven knows. If you were free today, can I believe that you would choose a dowerless girl? You, who in your confidence with her weighed everything by gain?
No.
Or choosing her, do I not know that your repentance and regret would surely follow? I do, and release you. With a full heart for the love of him you once were.
But Emma...
May you be happy in the life you have chosen.
Spirit, show me no more. Why do you delight to torture me?
One shadow more.
No more. No more. Show me no more.
As you wish. The visions you have witnessed may suffice to occupy your thoughts until my second visitation.
You are to return, Spirit?
Tomorrow night, upon the stroke of 12, think well upon what I have shown you. Think well. There is more to come. Farewell. Farewell.
You have been listening to part one of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, with Siobhan McKenna as the Spirit of Christmas Past and Annu McMaster as the miser Ebenezer Scrooge. Others taking part were Coralie Carmichael, Dominic Roach, Cecil Barra, Vincent Dowling, Brenda Doyle and Valerie Papin. Production by Ian Priestley Mitchell.